For those of you who haven't been with us, or for those of you who are with us for the first time, my name is Chris High. I'm the teaching pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And right now we're in the middle of this conversation called a new resolution. And a couple weeks ago we began this, and we talked about how as we begin this year, we wanted to not just focus on what we are going to do this year, but to focus on who we were going to become. And we began with this conversation because we wanted to look at, okay, what is my full potential? And as we walk through 2013, how can we begin to experience that potential? And maybe it's just we're taking the first couple steps, but how can we begin to at least take those steps and experiencing our full potential, the fullness of who we were created to be? And Jesus Christ says, listen, I didn't just come so that you could have eternal life. I came so that you could have life now abundant, that you could have it to the fullest. And so how, as we step into this year, how can we begin to experience that? That's what this conversation's been all about. And it's really setting the theme for this entire year, because what we're talking about in these few weeks is going to be the theme of our conversation throughout the entire 2013. And all of our conversations have been planned out, and this theme runs through every single one of them as we move throughout this year. How can I begin to experience that full potential? And as we began to talk through this, we realized that if I'm going to do that, then I've got to shift the image that I'm pursuing. We're all pursuing an image, but I've got to shift that if I'm going to begin to work with God as opposed to against God. And I've got to begin to pursue the image in my life that He's pursuing in me, this image of Jesus Christ. And then we began to break that down. Well, what does it look like to pursue the image of Jesus Christ? Which took us to this key passage. It's actually a passage that we embroider on every single membership towel here at Hoboken Grace, Philippians chapter 2, where it says, if you want to be like Christ in your culture where you are today, then that means that you have to, first and foremost, you have to take on the form of a servant. That I am a servant. It's not just that I serve, it's not just that I do nice things occasionally for people around me, but that I am a servant. I'm defined by a servant. Well, what does that look like? And we began to break that down even further last week. And we looked at this passage again, Philippians chapter 2. And there are all sorts of practical ways in Philippians chapter 2 that you can begin to put this into practice in your life. But there are two that are absolutely crucial. And so last week we began with the first of those, where it says, if you're going to do this, then you have to begin to consider others as more important than yourself. And I asked you last week to not just learn this, but to begin to practice this, to begin to put this into practice in your life. And so I asked you to go into the week and not to choose everyone, not to try to do this with everyone, because that's impossible, but to begin to look at one other person in your life that you are going to view as more important than yourself. And you are going to walk into every situation. You're going to say, okay, how would I act in this situation? What would I do in this situation if I viewed them actually as more important than myself? Let me ask you, how'd that go? Now, I know for some of you sitting here, and this is the first time that you've thought about that since last week. You're just remembering that that's what you were supposed to do, right? You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. We were going to do that. Yeah, maybe I'll try that next week. No, but for others of you, you actually did begin to put it into practice. You began to experience that unique joy that comes when you give as opposed to receive. And I'd be willing to bet that for a lot of you, as you put this into practice, you began to experience what I've experienced as I've begun to try this. And one of the things that surprised me the most as I began to try to practice this in the lives of the people around me is that it drastically increased my communication with God. It drastically increased my prayer life, because when you begin to try to do this with someone, there are so many questions that come up. And so I found myself over and over and over again driven back and saying, God, I don't know if I can do this, or God, are you sure? And my conversation with Him increased exponentially. There are all sorts of things that begin to happen in our lives when we begin to trust God and we begin to put this into practice. And so we began last week and we looked at this one that's absolutely crucial, that I consider others as more important than myself. And today I want to build on that. And again, like I said, there are tons of practical things inside this passage, which is why I also challenged you last week to read through this passage every single day this week. because I want you to see that it's just exploding with potential in your life. But then today, I want us to focus in on one more that I believe is absolutely crucial. And we're going to be working through this throughout the year, but I want us to make sure that we grab hold of these two in particular. I want to take us back to this passage, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. I want to read it to you again, and then I want to repeat that verse that we want to focus in on this morning. It starts off, it says, "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better or more important than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too." And this is what we talked about last week, this idea of moving into other people's lives and they're more important than me. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being, that I am a servant. I take this on. This is the attitude that I carry into my life. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. And it's that last verse that I want us to focus in on today. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. What does it look like to become like Jesus Christ? Well, you begin to define yourself as a servant. You begin to move into the lives of the people around you and say, you're more important, your dreams, your hopes, your aspirations are more important than mine. And you begin to move into your life and you begin to look at your interaction with God and you become obedient. What does it mean to be like Jesus Christ? I become obedient. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate being told what to do. Okay? It's not just that I dislike it. I despise being told what to do. And I could be thinking about doing something, and someone will tell me to do it, and the likelihood that I'm going to do it just decreased by like 90%. Okay? Because you told me to do it. Right? You've been there before. I bet that most of us are exactly the same way, that you despise being told what to do as well. For some of you, this is why you didn't practice last week, considering others as more important than yourself, because I told you to do it, so you're like, I'm not going to do it. I would have thought of it on my own. I probably would have done it then, but since you told me, there's absolutely no way. I despise being told what to do. And I think most of us are this way. Now, there are a few of you here who you just love it. You like being told what to do. I just want you to know, we don't like you, okay? That's the way it is. I hate being told what to do. And for most of us, we're in exactly the same boat. But a servant is different. A servant actually looks forward to being told what to do. A servant seeks out direction and instruction, right? Why? Because he's a servant. This is what he does. As a matter of fact, if he doesn't receive instruction, it's difficult for him to be able to live out his purpose. It's difficult for him to be able to function. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you stepped into a position and no one told you what to do, and so you're just kind of scrambling and it's difficult, right? You struggle because you need to know, what should I do? How do I work? What am I supposed to accomplish? A servant operates very differently. And of all the practical things that we see laid out in this passage, I think the two that we probably struggle with the most and the two that are key to all the others are this idea that I consider others more important than myself and I become obedient. But I want to talk about it in a little bit different way than probably most of us have talked about it in the past. Because the chances are, if you've been around church at all, and really just in general, you've heard about this idea of obedience. I mean, from the time we're this old, we're taught that if we want to succeed, if we want to experience life, then we need to learn how to obey. And if you step into church, you've probably heard this a lot, that if you want to experience the life that God has in store for you, then you need to obey. You need to take what he says and you need to put that into practice. And that's true, and that's good. But today, I want to talk about it in a little bit different perspective, because I think when you come to Philippians chapter 2, you see that obedience is about more than just what God's asking you to do. Because Philippians chapter 2 talks about obedience not just in terms of what's going to happen when you take that step or when you follow him. It talks about something that happens inside of you. And you see, what I want for us to be able to grab a hold of today, what I want for us to realize, and what I believe he's trying to help us see in Philippians chapter 2 is this. Obedience is not just the path to life because it shapes the decisions that you're going to make. Obedience is a path to life because it actually shapes your heart. If you have your note card with you today, I just want to encourage you to take that out because I just want you to jot this down. This is so important. In your life and in my life, obedience is not just the path to life because of the decisions that you're going to make. It's the path to life because of how it shapes your heart. And so you see that God is asking us to obey, not just because he wants us to take this step, not just because he wants us to do this, but because there's something that happens in obedience that actually shapes who we are. It's about more, if you go back to week one, it's about more than just what we're going to do. It's about who we're going to be. And in your life and my life, I want you to know something, and you'll see this consistently throughout the scriptures. God is far more concerned with who you're going to be than what you're going to do. Because God knows that what you do flows from who you are. And when it comes to obedience, for most of us, we've interacted with this idea of obedience and this idea that I need to obey God, that I need to follow God, that I need to trust God. And we've looked at that and thought that it was all about what he wanted us to do. But when you look at this passage, you see that obedience is the way in which you actually shape who you are. And so it says that he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. How did he humble himself? How did he take on that form of a servant? How did he take on that attitude of a servant? Through obedience. And this is a question we ask ourselves all the time, because we talk about humility a lot and how, man, if we're going to experience the fullness of God, then we've got to embrace humility. We've got to humble ourselves. And we ask ourselves often, well, what does that look like? How do you humble yourself? And when people talk about humility, this question comes up all the time. Well, how in the world do you humble yourself? Philippians chapter 2 is very clear. If you want to humble yourself, then you begin to practice obedience. You obey, but not just because of what he's asking you to do, but because of who you want to be. So let me ask you this. As we walk through this, again, I don't want us to just talk about this. I want us to actually wrestle through how this looks in your life and my life, how we begin to put this into practice. So let me ask you, as you're here, for every single one of us, what's your next step? On this journey of faith, what's your next step? As you pursue God, as God is pursuing you, what's your next step? What is it that God's asked you to do that you haven't yet done? And maybe it's a big thing, maybe it's a small thing, but in my interaction with people, it has become clear that for most of us, we know exactly what the next step is. There are very few of us who don't know. For most of us, we know what we should be doing. We know what the next step is. We know where God's asked us to obey that we maybe haven't. And so I want to ask you this morning, what's your next step? Now today, for some of you, you may have walked in here for the very first time. This is the first time that you've taken that step to say, you know what, I'm going to begin to seek out some of the answers to the questions that I've had for a very long time. Or maybe today you tuned in online to be able to watch the service. You're not yet comfortable walking into this space and actually being a part of this with other people who are on this journey, but you've decided to watch online. And so maybe your next step in that situation is actually just to show up on a Sunday morning, or you showed up today for the first time, and maybe your next step is just to come back next week. It doesn't have to be huge, but oftentimes we know exactly what the next step is. What's your next step? Maybe you've been journeying with us for a while and you're beginning to know and to understand that God really does love you. And for a long time you thought that he was against you, but you're beginning to realize that he's for you. And you know that you're coming to the point where he's asking you to trust him with your life, to ask him to be your savior, to make you new. But there's something inside of you that's fighting. Or maybe you've taken that step, but you look at the step of baptism, of coming up here and telling everyone who you are and what God's done in your life. And you're just holding back. What's your next step? Maybe it's getting plugged into a dinner group and actually having people who know who you are and you know who they are, and walking this journey with someone else, joining one of those dinner groups or a ministry team where you begin to consistently use your talents and skills to be able to serve as a part of this body. I don't know what your next step is, but here's the thing. I'd be willing to bet that most of you do. Because most of us know what we're supposed to do. The question is very rarely, what am I supposed to do? The question is almost always, are you going to do it? A few weeks ago, we were at a friend's house up in the Catskills, just this beautiful place, and we were having a blast. And our wives, it was my wife and I, our family, and then another family, and our wives decided that they were going to go shopping, and so we had the kids alone, which is always interesting when you have two dads and four kids. You really have no idea what can happen in those situations. And so we decided that we were going to go on a walk, and we were going to take a walk back to this pond. And back behind their house is this cool little pond. It's really beautiful. And the wives were gone, so we decided we're going to go for this walk, probably because the wives wouldn't have let us take kids back near frozen water in the middle of the winter. Okay? And so I don't know if that's exactly what prompted it or not, but we decided we're going to take this walk. And we go back to this pond. And when we get back to this pond, I want to make sure that nothing happens. Okay, because as a dad, you understand that the worst thing in the world that could happen is that something could happen to your children while your wife's not there. Okay, it's one thing if it happens to your children when you're both there. It's another thing if she's not there. Okay, things will go very, very bad for you if that's the situation. And so I wanted to make sure that nothing happened to Caden. And so I pulled Caden aside, because if you know my son, you know that the ice wouldn't have bothered him. He would be the first one to check out the ice and see if it was frozen. Okay, so I pulled him aside and I said, listen, Caden, and I was being very serious because I couldn't take a chance that anything happened when my wife's not there. So I said, Caden, you need to understand, if you go on the ice, you will fall through and you will die. Okay, and I know some of you are going to judge me and say, why would you say that to your kid? You do whatever it takes, you understand? You make sure nothing happens to your kids when your wife's not there. So I told him, you're going to die. He said, okay, Dad, okay, I understand. So stay away from it, don't get near it. And we were messing around and my friend and I, we took like a big stick to throw it out on the ice to see if it was frozen, and like it hit the ice and it kind of cracked, so you knew like it probably isn't frozen. And in that situation, everyone in the situation knew what to do. But my friend decided that he was just going to test it out. I just going to test it out. You'd have to talk to him to find out everything that was going through his head, because to this day, I'm still not sure. But he decided that he's going to kind of slide down the bank and put his toe on the ice to see how it was. He thought at the bottom of this bank that there was a little bit of ground before he reached the water. That was incorrect, as it turns out. And he fell through the ice. Okay? And not like fell through the ice to here. Fell through the ice to here. Okay, so I'm terrified in the situation as it is, just because of the fact that he's in the water, and it's kind of a scary situation. So I'm on the edge, and I've got a hold of him, and he's actually barely got his toes into the side of this rock, and we're trying to figure out how he can get his footing to be able to pull him back up out of the ice. And in this situation, I'm holding on to him. Caden comes up alongside of me, climbs up right next to my shoulder, looks over the edge, and says, Jim, you're gonna die. No lie. Comes right up and said, Jim, you're gonna die. And I'm like, no, Caden, get back. Caden, get back. It was awful. And everyone turned out to be all right. We got him out and everything. But in this situation, everyone knew what to do, right? It's very seldom that we don't know what to do. It's just that there's something in our lives that says, man, I'm not going to obey. I'm just going to try it. I'm just going to test it. I just want to find out what it's like going this direction. And for most of you here, you know exactly what the next step is. You know exactly what you need to do. You know exactly the direction that he's leading you. And if you don't, I want to encourage you to have an honest conversation with yourself, which for those of us in this day and age is really easy because the chances are you probably have a personal iPhone and then like a work iPhone. So just set it up and just set up a little FaceTime conversation with yourself. Okay? Like just set it up so you can have an honest conversation with yourself and imagine yourself giving advice to yourself. Because the truth is, I think for most of us, we would give really good advice to ourselves if we were talking like we were talking to someone else. If we weren't talking to ourselves. And if you go back a couple months ago, we had this conversation. We said, no one can lie to you better than you. And for some of us, maybe if you're not really sure what that step is, maybe you need to have that honest conversation with yourself. To say, okay, what is it that God's asking me to do that I just keep saying no to? And maybe you've been throwing out disclaimers and excuses and reasons to yourself over and over and over again, but you know that this is your next step. On that card, on that note card, I just want you can write it down where no one else can see it, but I want you to write it down because I want you to be able to see it right in front of you. What is your next step? What is he asking you to do? And you've been saying no. Now, as we walk through this today, I want to challenge you to look at that step on that car, and I want to challenge you to do it, but I want to challenge you to do it for an entirely different reason than what you may have thought previously. Because oftentimes we look at that card and we look at that step, we look at what's in front of us and we say, okay, I need to do this because this step or this whatever it may be, that this is going to do something good in my life. I want to challenge you that not only will you benefit from the step itself, but that God in your life and my life wants us to realize that if nothing else, you will benefit simply from obeying. And so I want to challenge you to do it. Not because you agree with God that it's a good step. Not because you think that it's going to work out well in your life. Not because the people around you finally agree with him that it's going to work out in your life. I want to challenge you to take the step of obedience because you trust God that obedience itself helps you become who you want to be. That the step itself, simply trusting God, obeying, helps you become who you want to be. Helps you join God with what he wants to do in your life. Because if you remember back again to week one, what is God doing? God is using Romans 8, 28 and 29. God is using everything in your life, everything good and everything bad, to work towards one thing, to work towards one image, right? What is that image? That you would be conformed to the image of his son, that you would become like Jesus Christ. If you want to join God in that, and that you're pursuing the same image that he's pursuing, working towards the same thing that he's working towards, as opposed to working against him, then you begin to obey, not just because you think that this is the right step, but because you begin to see obedience as part of how you're going to become who you want to be. And there's this pride inside of us that says, no, I'm the one who decides how this is going to work out. I'm the one who decides whether or not this is a step I should take or a step that I'm not going to take. I'm the one. Here's the thing, guys. That part of us that hates to be told what to do, that part of us that says, I'm the one who's going to decide, if we're going to experience the fullness of what God created us to be, that has to die. That has to die. And in order for that to happen, if you want to see that happen, then I believe that God is teaching us in Philippians chapter 2 that you humble yourself through obedience. And that obedience begins to shape you and help you become the best you could possibly be. And I know even for some of us who are here, as we hear that, there's something inside of us that just fights against this. Fights against this entire idea. That's what's holding you back. And we think that voice is good, but it's not. It's not who God created you to be. And it's working against what Jesus Christ has in store for every single one of us. If you want to become like Jesus Christ, then you humble yourself. How? You obey. And sometimes in your life, God's going to ask you to do something, and he's not going to tell you why. And it's amazing to me to look back on those situations and those decisions in my life. And I bet that a lot of us have been there before, where God asks you to do something, and you say, why? And there's no answer. The only answer is, I want you to do this. I want you to take this step. I want you to go have this conversation. I want you to approach this person. Whatever it may be, God asks you to do something. And my initial response, like most of our initial responses, is to ask why. And there's no answer. Have you ever found yourself in that situation? There's no answer. You keep praying. You keep engaging God in this conversation, but there's no answer as to why. And as a matter of fact, sometimes I've taken that step. And even after I've taken that step, I still don't understand why. What I'd like to propose to you today is that in those situations, it might just be that God's asking you to obey, not because of what he's asking you to do, but because of who he wants you to become. And so oftentimes we have this conversation as it pertains to baptism, and people will say, I look at this step of baptism, and I'm like, I don't understand. Why should I take the step of baptism? What is it going to do for me? Nothing. But when you begin your journey with God by saying yes, by obeying, it begins to shape who you are. And God's far more concerned with who you are than what you're going to do. And so he asks us to obey, to humble ourselves, to take on the form of a servant, by over and over and over again coming to God and saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Okay, I'll do it. And I'm not saying here that you shouldn't engage God in the question of why, but you engage God in the question of why after you obey. Not before. And one of the things that I love about our God is that our God takes the time to be able to walk us through. Listen, this is why I'm doing this in your life, and this is why I want you to take this step. And he's a loving and compassionate and engaging God who will engage you in those conversations. But sometimes the reason why you hear him being silent is because he wants to help shape who you are. And how does he do that? He does that by leading us into this step of obedience. Obey. You look at that step on that sheet in front of you today. Take the step. But I want to challenge you to change the motivation and to take the step because you trust God about what he says in Philippians chapter 2. that this is going to help you become the best you could possibly be. That this obedience does not just shape our lives because of the decisions that we make, but because it shapes our hearts. I believe as we walk throughout this next year that God is going to open the door for so many of us into an experience of Him and into experience of the life around us that is so much greater than what we've experienced before. But if that's going to happen, then we have to shift the image that we're pursuing. We have to join Him in this pursuit of the image of Jesus Christ. Considering others is more important than ourselves, and embracing this heart of obedience. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we walk through this, as we look at this unbelievable, powerful truth of the way in which obedience impacts who we are. Father, I want to pray for those who are in this room that as they look at that step in front of them, as they look at this step, whatever it may be that you're leading them into, that they would begin to see that as an opportunity. That we would begin to see those points in our lives when you step in and say, listen, this is what I want you to do. That we would begin to see those as an opportunity. That we would jump at those opportunities. Because we know that as we obey, that we're becoming the best that we could possibly be. That we're experiencing the best we could possibly experience. And Father, I pray that you would continue to lead us and how to be able to kill that voice inside of us that says, no, I'm going to be the one who makes the decisions. I'm the one who's in control. Father, as we come to the end of this conversation, we're amazed at just how active you are in our everyday life. At how you're leading us and guiding us into what's best and beautiful. Even though it looks so completely upside down from what we used to believe and what we used to know. And Father, I just pray for those who are here, for every one of us, that as we embrace that, as we change our perspective on obedience, that we will begin to experience that new heart that we've been given coming alive. The joy and the peace, the patience and the kindness and the goodness that comes when we begin to pursue in our hearts what you're pursuing in our hearts as well. In Jesus' name, amen.